We'll call the Board of Supervisors back to open session. Report on close, Mr. Kiernan.
Yes, we went in at 9:10, came out at 9:33, and there's no reportable action.
All right, thank you. Now we'll do item six, presentations from the public. This time slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You will be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. The chair can extend the time to 5 minutes for appropriate circumstances. Written comments can be presented if so desired by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair. The comments should be limited to matters within jurisdiction of the board. And for everyone here on Kidder Creek or Williamson, I have your cards. I'll pull you up at that time. But is there any public comment on any other subjects? Anything online?
Showing none online.
Okay. Now we'll move to item number 7, consent agenda. Wishes of my colleagues?
Pull 7B.
7B, all right.
B as in boy. Thank you.
Mr.
Yes.
Oh. I apologize. We have one hand up. It'll second my time.
All right.
Oh, no, here it is.
Oh, okay. We'll go ahead and hear that right now. Public comment, Ms. Chrissy.
Yeah, we'll wait till she starts to talk.
Hi, thank you, Chairman Chris. I wanted to make a comment on the agenda item 8A. Is that an appropriate time to do that now?
If you want to hold on, I could. We could hear you at that time if you'd like.
Okay, I just didn't know when that would be coming up.
Okay, it'll be a little while. We'll do a few things. It'll be a little while before it comes up.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chrissy. All right, no other public comment. And then the consent agenda, wishes of my colleagues now.
Were there any additional polls besides 7B? Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda, absent B.
Sir. Ready? Supervisor Halp?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobsaff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Thank you.
Supervisor Halp?
Thank you. I believe Ms. Nielsen has something to share with us.
I do. Thank you. Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator. I received some edits from the Siskiyou County Farm Bureau last Friday on this consent item, so I wanted to read those edits into the record. I have a copy here for the public, and one has been provided to the clerk as well. So the last sentence of paragraph 1 will now read, if approved. We are asking the NRCS, through the PIFR, to investigate the Scott Valley watershed to determine any sites that would be suitable for a water storage project, period. The first sentence of the second paragraph will now read, if a location is determined feasible, the project would collect water for irrigation and allow agricultural producers to leave clean, cold water in the Scott River to benefit salmon, thereby meeting the public fish and wildlife and agriculture water management purposes of the NRCS program. And lastly, the second sentence of paragraph 3 will now read, should the PIFR determine that a location and project is viable and would provide an overall benefit, Siskiyou County is interested in potentially serving as the project sponsor, period.
Thank you for those edits. With that, I'll move to approve with the edits as stated.
Second.
All righty. Supervisor Halp?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye. We're going to skip down to item 9C, and that's Kidder Creek, which I understand there's a few people in here on that one. So we're going to skip down to item 9C out of respect to everyone's time. We're going to go through the official hearing process here. So a little bit of formality as we go along this process. We'll open the hearing, and then reading of staff presentation, reading of order presentation, Ms. Wendy?
Just a second.
Good morning, Board of Supervisors.
Just wait a second, Eli.
Yep, this is a public hearing to introduce and approve first reading of an ordinance which would change the zoning from timber production zone to rural residential for the Kidder Creek Orchard Camp project, and I believe there's also a resolution in there for their use permit as well.
All right. Thank you, Board of Supervisors. Haley Lang, Planning Director. So the Kidder Creek Orchard Camp project is a two-part project. It is both a zone change and a use permit. The zone change is to rezone approximately 170 acres from timber production to rural residential. Most of the Kidder Creek property is currently zoned rural residential, and a small portion of the property is zoned AG1. The use permit is to increase the allowable occupancy from 165 to a total occupancy of 622. And this comes from a recommendation of the Planning Commission. They wanted to reduce the number, which was originally 844, down to 622, which is now known as Project Alternative Number 4. Additionally, this use permit would include the addition of structures and recreational features, including a pond and other ancillary facilities. It is anticipated that the expansion would occur over a 20-year period. I want to note that the baseline that was used for the environmental impact report and the occupancy number that has been used is 310 persons, including staff, guests, and volunteers. The new use permit would revoke all previous use permits and would consolidate all of the approved uses into a single use permit. There are three previous use permits for Kidder Creek Orchard Camp. The first approval was back in 1976 to create an organized camp for youth for backpacking and primitive camping uses. The second approval was in 1984 to construct a log cabin camp, ranch camp, youth camp, whitewater rafting, backpacking, and a soccer camp. This permit also allowed for an annual auction for funding to take place on site. The third approval was in 1995 to expand the capacity of Kidder Creek to increase from approximately 1,800 combined campers and students per year to a maximum of 3,000 annually at the end of the 10 years with a maximum occupancy of 165. The project is located at 2700 South Kidder Creek Road. As noted, an environmental impact report was prepared and was last heard as a final EIR at the Planning Commission. There are a number of mitigation measures included in that EIR and contained in your staff report package today. We have received also a number of public comments related to the project. Just to summarize the public comments on the opposing side, to highlight a few concerns with water, concerns with industrial recreation, and I just want to note that term. It's not defined in our code or general plan. It's not really a term defined also, you know, in other planning, you know, planning articles, but one can infer, you know, folks mean kind of a dense, you know, dense use of recreation on a specific site. Wildfire is a concern. Ingress and egress has been noted also as a concern. There have also been a number of public comments received in support of the project, including, you know, it's a site for kids to go to. It's a family-oriented community. There's also ministry options and, you know, an increased quality of life from having that certain type of experience. And those conclude my comments this morning. I will note that Kidder Creek has prepared a presentation related to their wildland emergency fire plan. And I will note there are a number of technical consultants here today that have prepared the technical studies related to the EIR, should you have any questions of them. I also want to note I did print out 7 copies of a revised staff report. The public webpage that we've had for years for the Kidder Creek final EIR and the associated documents, that was omitted from the staff report, so that correction is in a revised staff report for you all today. And that concludes my comments.
Thank you.
And you have a revised staff report for the clerk?
Yep.
That's one of those packets, correct?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Right. Presentation of correspondence.
At the clerk's level, we've received correspondence from Sharna Gilmore, one from Sharon Pappas and George Martin, also from Ann Marsh, Frida Walker, and Marcia A. Birch. And I had two returned undeliverable notices of the public hearing to Ruth Starkey, care of Russell Johnson, and also Ryan and Tammy Bennett. Those were undeliverable notices that would have been sent out in the mail. And I've got copies here if anybody wants them. I do believe I've emailed these all to the board, though.
All right. I had shared up here with me today a comment from a Murray Taylor. Copies for all the board members.
And the clerk will need one as well?
Yes, I'll give you the rest of the copies. This way?
Thank you.
There you go. Now, presentation of reports or arguments or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. Seeing none at this time. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence. The Kidder Creek can't want to give any proponents statements.
Showing none online.
We have, okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I turned in a card as well, so
oh, okay.
You can pull mine.
All right.
My name is Andy Workin. I'm the director at Kidder Creek Camp. I also live at the end of South Kidder Creek Road at 2333, so I'm a close neighbor of the camp. I just wanted to give a little bit of background and information about the camp and what we are all about. Kidder Creek Camp is a nonprofit organization that has existed since 1976. We were founded by local families and have been supported by volunteers and donors since the camp began. The camp would not survive without our friends' generous support. Our commitment is to serve our local community, and our vision is that every child in Siskiyou County will have an opportunity to come to Kidder Creek Camp at some point in their life. We do that by offering a 25% discount to local campers. We offer additional campership to those who are in need so that everybody can have the opportunity to come to summer camp. We've never turned a camper away because of finances. Each year, we give an average of $125,000 in camperships and discounts to help get kids to camp. We've also recently redeveloped a partnership with the Siskiyou County Office of Education to have outdoor education camp at Kidder Creek Camp. This last summer, we also went into partnership with four public schools through some of their ELOP funding to provide summer day camps for kids at camp as well. Every summer, we have about 25% of our total campers are kids who are coming from Siskiyou County as well as from neighboring communities. And counties. Some of the ways that we've been able to pour into local youth and families in the last few years has been through sports, education, family events like the Fall Festival, and summer camp programs. Some of the specifics of those have been PAL Sports, Siskiyou Outdoor Ed Camp, weddings, youth and sports nights, sober grad night, end of school year trips, celebrations, the Fall Festival, and obviously summer camp programs. Which many kids and families love and enjoy and have for many years. We've also partnered with Camp Youth Empowerment Siskiyou for many years now, 7 or 8 years. We've had a partnership with them where they work with kids who've experienced trauma, and they are invited to come to, with Camp Yes, and we partner with them to give them a great camp experience and for their kids. And that's obviously such an important piece for those kids who've experienced trauma to come and have a week where they can feel safe and loved and offered hope. Which we also partner with an organization called Camp Hope. Every summer since 2012, we've had multiple weeks of Camp Hope camp at camp. So similar to Camp Yes, we have other agencies from Shasta County, Tehama County, and others who come up, and we are able to partner with them to give these kids who never have an experience to go to a summer camp experience, they get to come up, and it is life-transforming the impact that camp is having on them. This last summer, we hired 47 local kids and adults to work at camp, as well as our full-time staff who work and live there. And obviously, we exist and we're started to serve the local community. We're committed to that. That's our vision. That's our hope. Kidder Creek Camp exists to provide life-transforming experiences to kids, to youth, to families. That's what we're all about. You're going to hear a little bit more about that today from some of our friends. If you were at the Planning Commission meeting or if you heard how that went, we had 2 hours of people who presented, hey, this was impacting to me, this was impacting to my kids, to my grandkids, this is a good thing for our community, this is a good thing for our kids. I think you would agree with me that kids today need camp, right? There's a lot of hurt, suicide is on the rise, depression is on the rise, anxiety is on the rise. The thing that stood out to me from our summer camp programs, we do a video at the end of each week of camp, and it's a highlight video, and it shows all the fun and the kids having a great time. But the thing that really stood out to me is almost every week we had kids that came to camp at the end of the camp. They said, I came to camp and I wasn't sure if I was going to feel accepted or loved. And, you know, my counselors, my friends, I was unconditionally accepted and loved. And I was able to have an opportunity to grow in faith, to grow physically, to grow in skills like mountain biking or horseback riding or being introduced to lifetime pursuits, things that are going to be good for them to pursue for the rest of their lives. You're going to hear today from some of the opposition as well, and I just wanted to address them. We have worked hard. Tim Lloyd has been on staff and has lived in the community and has been a part of this process since the beginning. We have tried to work hard to hear our neighbors. The 622 occupancy limit that was put on by the Planning Commission, that's something that we have talked openly about. Something that we have been willing to do to try to compromise, to say, okay, we agree, that's really big. 844, that was really big. So we reduced the plan by 222 to try to say, to extend an olive branch that we hear you. We respect our neighbors. We want to come up with a plan that we could work together where everyone could be happy. But we also think that kids need camp, and we want to get more kids to camp. We think it's that important, that it's that moment, that life-transforming moment that can happen at camp can change the course of someone's life forever. And so we would just encourage you to approve the project. We're excited about what it's going to bring to our community, the increased ways that it's going to allow us to serve local kids and families, as well as kids from California, Oregon, and from our region here. So we're really excited about the life impact that this is going to allow us to continue to have in the lives of campers, and so we just thank you for allowing us to be here today. Also, just to touch on the EIR, and I think you're going to hear a little bit more about this. As I mentioned, we've been working on this for 14 years. We have been working hand-in-hand and very closely with the County Planning Department. We've done countless reports and studies, had countless conversations. It's a robust EIR. We've had some CEQA consultants who we've been consulting with. You're going to hear from them today. Just echoing that we've done our homework, we've done the study. We spent 2 days with the Planning Commission where they asked so many questions of our experts and our friends who are here to support and of us. We feel like we've dotted the I's and crossed the T's, and we were grateful to move forward from the Planning Commission with that unanimous yes. And so we just thank you again for all that you do. Thank you for allowing us this time to be here and to present this opportunity for Siskiyou County. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Walker.
Yeah.
Thank you. Opponents' arguments and or evidence. And then I'll move into public comments. So everyone, we have about 20 speakers right now. Might be more that raise their hand as we get going along. So at 20 minutes, at 3 minutes per each person would be about an hour. And so just for respect for time, everybody has a right to be heard. Don't worry about it. We're not going to rush you along. I'm going to say your name, and I'm going to say who's up to bat. And we'll just keep the ball rolling so we can hear from everybody, from all the comments. So first we have Mark Frudenberg. Hello, sir. And then up to bat after in the batter's box will be, that's not how you say it pitching, but anyway, Paul Bullard, you'll be after that. So I'll hold everybody to 3 minutes for public comment. And thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, my name is Mark Frudenberg. I live here in Waireka. Our experience as a family, the Kidder Creek has been very impactful to us as a family. All three of our kids went to camp there, they've worked there, we've had family events there. It's been really impactful in that way. And you're going to probably hear a lot of those testimonies. But more importantly, I think for you as elected officials is to be thinking about, so how does Kidder Creek really help not only me as an individual, but our county as a whole? And so I'd like to speak to that a little bit. It is our thought that living things really need to be in a state of healthy growth in order to progress. If they are not in a state of healthy growth, they just kind of dissipate, die, fade out. And this is not only true for organisms, but organizations as well. It's true for Kidder Creek, and it's true for Siskiyou County. And so Kidder Creek needs to be in a healthy state of growth with goals and objectives in order to stay relevant and vibrant. And that is also true for Siskiyou County. So I think the two can help each other in that respect. How can Kidder Creek's growth and expansion help Siskiyou County be a better place? So number one is the positive impact that it's having for our youth, for our children, and for our families. And as I said, we've experienced that personally as a family. My wife and I have also volunteered there a lot. We were there for a whole month this past summer, and so we're observing how this is working with the kids, and it's really delightful to see the growth and impact that it's having. It also provides a really great place of employment for our young adults during the summers. Actually, all three of our own kids have been employed there during the summers of their college years. And of course, we know tons of other kids that have grown up, gone to college, and have worked there, and it's a really great place of employment for them to come home to during those summer months and earn some income in a really positive way and making a positive impact. And finally, what we've seen is Kidder Creek brings in all kinds of people from out of the county, not only the people, but their dollars. And they come in, they enjoy our natural resources, they have a really positive experience in our county, and they go home, leaving very little impact. And I think that is something that's really positive for our county. So, yes, I am in full support of Kidder Creek getting to expand and grow. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Bullard, and then Christine Fear is after that, Patrick.
Go ahead. You can start.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, Supervisors. For the record, I'm Paul Ballard. I'm the owner of Ballard Acoustical Consultants, and I personally prepared an extensive noise analysis for this project EIR. I just wanted to, A, let you know that I'm here in case you should have any questions pertaining to noise during the day, and B, to just state that in the EIR, we found one significant unavoidable impact, and that was related to traffic noise, but that was based on the 844 number of campers. If it is in fact being reduced to 622, if I have those numbers correct, that impact is no longer a significant unavoidable impact. That was based on the absolute maximum worst case condition. So I just wanted to very quickly point that out, let you know that I'm here, and should you have any questions, I'll be happy to respond at a later time.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Christine Fear?
Yeah, I'm on the opposition.
Oh, no, this is public comment for everybody.
Okay.
Public comment for everybody. And then and just always say your name when you begin your speech just to help out with for the note-taking. And then after Christine will be Mike Fear.
Hi, I'm Christine Fear. I am a resident on the Loop, Siskiyou, Kidder Creek Loop Road. My main concern is having the amount of people that they want to expand to and that amount of traffic coming down our road. I stay out in my garden and I can hear every car that comes up and down South Kidder Creek Road. So whether it's 600 or 800, that's noise, that's cars, that's pollution. And I feel that it's just way too much to be asking for that amount of people to be coming to that area. It's a small road. Homes and, you know, all the farmers that are around it, that we surround it with, you know, are not happy about it. Unfortunately, we just, we love the camp. We love that they have the opportunity and they want to do all that. That's wonderful for the kids. We're not opposing that, but the increase of the amount of people that they want on that permit is just ridiculous. It's almost the population of our town. And so, in that being said, it's just too much for that small area. We are one road, one area, not the whole valley. And, you know, it almost outweighs our population in Aetna alone.
Thank you, Ms. Fear.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Mike Fear, and then after be Ms. Michelle Rush. Yes, sir.
Yeah, board members, my name is Mike Fear. I'm here to speak about the water that they're going to consume at the camp that's going to flow downhill to us, which will lessen our water flow because they're pumping too much of it out. They want to put a 7-acre pond in, add more wells. I get 32 gallons a minute. I moved to this valley back in the 80s, and I live where I live for 20 years. If I lose water pressure, I will lose, you know, drought conditions. I will lose so much because I'm a sustainable person. I live off my garden. Another issue is, I got to say, is about there are wildlife around here, the impact that they're going to have coming up and down our road. We have not ever hit any wildlife on our road. Since this operation's been going on with more people, I've picked up 3 dead deer off our road from people speeding up and down it, and they're not paying attention. We have folks that have chickens, goats, sheep that basically get out and run free off our little road there. It's a country road. If they get run over, we have kids that play in their yard. If something happens, then one of them gets run over. What are we going to do about this? I think we all need to sit back and think about what they're going to put in here and what it's going to flow downhill to us homeowners that live in the country, love the life, and we want to keep it. We want to keep it simple, peaceful. They can do what they want. They're going to. But I need you guys to think about us. Us folks downstream of the impact that's going to happen. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Michelle Rush, and then after that, Kim Downey.
Thank you, Chair and Supervisors. My name is Michelle Rush, and I'm a I'm a homeowner on South Kidder Loop, and I've been there 16 years, and I have always loved Kidder Camp, and everything they spoke about is absolutely true. That's the good for the kids and the good for the public. However, there hasn't been any mention of the build-out of the residential places that are going to be taking place of the timber land. And do those people pay into the services for fire service and water? I don't know these answers, so that's just my questions. Why aren't they talking about all that residential build-out? And there's a very good example in the Santa Cruz Mountains of the Mount Hermon there. That's what they've done, is built out all this resident area. And so that's kind of the other side of the coin of the camp. The camp is wonderful. The camp, I'm sure, wants to expand, but I don't think we need... I mean, just imagine the whole city of Aetna suddenly driving down South Kidder Road. It's about the same in numbers. So that road is very good from Highway 3 until the second part of the loop, and then it's kind of a country road. That's a lot of weight on that road. Maybe it was addressed well in the EIR, I don't know. But from the second loop on, I know there was talk about, well, we'll just bus them in. Well, that's still weight on the road. Whether they're in individual cars or all packed into a bus, that's hard on that road. The other thing is, our farmers and ranchers had to give up 30% of their water. How come that's not carried forward to the camp with all these large numbers? I just think the increase is too much. It doesn't make common sense to me. It's too much. Do all those new residences that are going to go in over the next 20 years, do they help us pay for our resources? Our fire, our water, is that being addressed? I don't know. I think that's an awful lot, and I realize it's over a 20-year period, but that's a lot of traffic on that road, and they are, there is a speeding problem right now. They do put up a 30 mile per hour sign, but I think they need to start further towards the highway so that people don't get a good head of steam going before they hit that 30 mile an hour sign. Kidder Creek Camp is a great thing, but the other conflict in my mind is, why the greed? Why do we have to have that much more when it's been a good thing? Why does it have to increase that much so it impacts the people that have been there? The other question is, so the greed's an issue. Are they going to follow the lead of the JA trash? We've been down this road before. Are they going to just keep going and not pay attention to what the planning department says? Where is the line in the sand? Those are the common sense things that I wonder about. If the farmers and ranchers have to give up for something that's very important, why doesn't Kidder Creek Camp have to address that? Maybe they do. Like I said, I don't know the details. But I think there needs to be maybe some more research into the other Mount Hermon projects. Why is it here they got to expand?
Ms. Rush?
Yeah.
I just got stuck there in 3 minutes. But.
Oh, okay. They also have places in New Mexico, I can't remember the other place, Louisiana, and also California. So maybe expanding in those other places as well.
Thanks, Ms.
Thank you so much.
Ms. Kim Downey, and then George Martin.
Hi, I'm Kim Downey, and I am the food service manager at Kidder Creek Camp. And I just wanted to share, there's many aspects to camp. There's the campers. But I have the unique opportunity of, last summer I had 16 employees working in my kitchen. And this is high school and college students and some moms that want to make some extra money. I had three full-time college students that were working for me, providing food for up to 100 people per meal, which is exciting to think that they get their food handlers, they learn how sanitation. So our kitchen staff is a big employment for local kids and college students and people in the valley. So I wanted to point that out, and I just wanted to give you a quick story. We all can agree that kids need to unplug. The kids are having a lot of difficulties right now that everything that's going on. On Sunday nights when we start camp, we have no fork spaghetti night, and so the kids have to show up and they have to eat spaghetti without a fork. Which sounds silly, but they first start and they don't want to put sauce on because they don't want to get their faces dirty. And then by the third time they come through, they're at this point covered in spaghetti sauce, and they're asking for more spaghetti and more sauce because they want to be the dirtiest kid in their cabin. And it just shows the confidence, and we're giving kids a chance to unplug and just be kids. And that's what the one of the main things of Kidder Creek is. And just for a background of me, I'm a registered dietitian, and I actually have a master's in nutrition education. I probably could make a lot more money than what I do working at Kidder Creek Camp, but it's really positive to see my staff of high school and college students gain confidence in what they do, and also to watch these kids as they come to camp gain confidence as they have a week of just being kids and getting dirty and enjoying nature. So obviously I am wanting to expand the camp so we can have more kids come for longer, so we can expand our season. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gunny. Mr. George Martin, and then Mr. Tim Lowy.
Hello, George Martin, 4282 Pinecone Drive near Greenview. I share a property line with Kidder Creek Camp. I have no problem with the camp as it is now, but I have serious concerns about the size of the expansion requested by what is now Kidder Creek Camp Division of the Mount Hermon Organization, which on its website brags about having 85,000 customers last year. The Scott Valley plan allows for only small commercial or recreation. If you approve this plan, you will be defining small for all future development. A developer wishing to build an apartment complex for 600 to 700 residents would be hard to deny. In the 1990s, a developer wishing to use government monies wanted to put a large high-density complex in Etna. It was denied. I worry that approval of this expansion would start an irreversible change to the nature of Scott Valley. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Tim Lloyd, and then D. Jones.
Good morning. My name is Tim Lloyd, and I am the site and facility manager at Gator Creek Camp. I've been there for just about 23 years now. And so even before the merger with Mount Hermon, we started working on this expansion. It's been over 15 years ago that we actually started talking about possibly doing something at the camp to grow it. As one of the guys said earlier today, you can't stay stagnant as a business. You have to grow and you have to change. And Kidder Creek needs to do that. We have spent an incredible amount of time and energy in the last 15 years developing this. If you don't know it, we've been through 13 different people overseeing our project from the county alone. The number of government agencies I've worked with, and it's been a great experience. I've learned a lot about the county, about the government, about the regulations that you can have, things what you can and can't do in the state. It is amazing. I'm pretty convinced that if I'd known all this 15 years ago, I probably would not have wanted to do it. But we have spent so much time, and people talk about the project too, as they'll make statements about things that are going to happen without really understanding what's been done. The information in the project is overwhelming. Think about it, 15 years of reports that we've done on different aspects of this project. To look through all that material is overwhelming. And I would encourage you, if you do have any questions or comments, you're welcome to ask them. There are a lot of experts here today that have helped us along the way answer these questions, address the issues. We've addressed mitigation issues, trying to resolve issues with the neighbors, with the government, with the different departments. We feel like we're in a pretty good place that we can do this without having a negative impact on the environment, on the community. Is there going to be an impact? Yeah. You can't avoid that. We have impact now on the community, the way it is. But the point to me is this worthwhile doing or not? I started in camping a long time ago, and I've spent my life working in the camping industry because I believe in the impact that this stuff can have in the lives of people. It changes their life. And I believe that we live in a culture today that desperately needs this type of stuff. And this business needs to be encouraged. It needs to be supported because the impact on the community, the kids, the next generation is overwhelming. It is amazing. When you start digging into this and you see what it does, you will be overwhelmed yourself with the positive impacts that this camp has. That's why I've chosen to invest so much time and energy into it. And I would encourage you to pursue this and ask any questions you may have today. I'd love to answer them or direct you to the right people. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ms. D. Jones, and then Melvin Perlman.
Melissa.
Melissa? Oh, okay. Thank you. Apologize. Go ahead.
Good morning, supervisors. My name is D. Jones. I live at 711 South Kidder Creek, approximately a mile downstream of the camp. I'm concerned about many things. Fire is one of them, but most of all, water. I think you have an important responsibility here today to the citizens of our county. And in reading the staff report, there was an interesting point that with regard to future well permits and the need for GSA oversight, and may I quote from the report, the EIR otherwise includes explicitly considers public trust doctrine, that's from the draft EIR page 3, section 3 to 11, and concludes that there is no substantial
interference with groundwater recharge that would require further consideration. At the Planning Commission, the Commission further noted that there are no agriculture or production wells that are part of the Kidder Creek project, and that the domestic wells are not in the present jurisdiction of the GSA. You know, I read Glenn Pearson's report and study, which was predicated on the idea that all outdoor watering would be supplied by the Barker Ditch. But when they drill wells to augment their outdoor watering needs, there will be no oversight on the impacts of groundwater by the GSA. Not one single time has anyone asked the question, where do they now and where will they in the future get their outdoor watering in July, August, and September? The Barker Ditch runs through my property in July, August, and September of the past few years. It has been dry. The fact that they will be allowed to drill wells without consideration and oversight from the Valley's GSA is the very loophole that could allow significant impacts on the groundwater supply within Scott Valley, which was never disclosed in their application or their EIR. Under this very fact alone, the EIR should be considered null and void, and all impacts based on the totality of their water use, both surface and groundwater, must be considered. Supervisors, the future of water usage in Scott Valley is actually in your hands as you make this decision today. I hope you will have been advised properly and you will take under consideration what future generations might be affected by your decision here today. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Perlman. And after Marcia Walden, be next.
Hi, thank you for this opportunity. I'm Melinda Perlman. I've lived about a mile from the camp for 32 years on South Kidder Road. There are approximately 200 to 300 neighbors that will be affected by this project. This EIR is partial and incomplete. It will not pass CEQA, according to our lawyer. It does not comply with the Scott Valley Area Plan. Recommendations from the State Water Board, Forest Service, NIMPS, and Fish and Wildlife were not addressed at all. The camp is allowed now to have 622 people per day, year-round. You do the math. How many people is that? The traffic, the projected traffic is estimated to be 1,200 to 1,500 cars per day. And yet, the speed limit on our road is 55 miles per hour. There are no mitigations for noise, traffic, and air quality. How can this be? This is a huge, huge project. As far as water, you know, we're in the worst drought ever. The project does not address what issues the 200 to 300 nearest neighbors will deal with as 622 people use various facilities. Use of surface and groundwater as proposed will dewater the flows in Kidder Creek. And will our wells go dry? We don't know. As far as fire, it is not if, but more likely when, a catastrophic wildfire involves the camp. There will be two fire road exits. Although the camp claims they can evacuate all within 2 hours, I don't see how. With 622 people, 24 RVs, horse trailers, and the neighbors' vehicles, who will be liable if the worst case scenario happens? Will it be the county? Will it be the camp? This is dangerous, and it's, you know, there is, the camp does good. It's not a question of religion or whether the camp does good. This is about this, the details of this. Please, please look into your minds and hearts and vote for what is good, the highest good for all of us. Because, yes, these children's lives will change in a positive way, but our lives our poverty values, our lifestyle, all the work everyone's done to live here is going to change drastically. Thank you very much.
Thank you.